Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It turned into a big national debate yesterday. Coming up at around 8:20, we're going to tell you exactly what we want out of the Cavs coming up in the draft. But it became a big national debate yesterday in the overall draft. And I have a problem with it, and I think you've hit on it before, that I think that there's just a lot of people, they don't want to see Zion Williamson in New Orleans. It's a drab color scheme. It's a drab arena. It's a drab organization, but it is in a vibrant city. And I think that it's got to be, hey, I got nothing against the fine folks in New Orleans, never been there, whatever. I'm sure it's a party town. And the Saints, people seem to love the Saints, but it just seems to be not a great NBA market. And they got the number one overall pick, and Zion Williamson is going to be there, and foreseeably for the next 5 to 7 years, he's going to be there. And I knew this conversation was going to happen, and I really truly believe if the Lakers had the number one pick or the Knicks had the number one pick, this wouldn't be a conversation, obviously. The question has now been brought up, should we get rid of the NBA draft? Now, I'm under the understanding that you and Jason might have talked about this a few weeks ago while I was out with the eye thing. I'm not for getting rid of the NBA draft or any of the drafts, for that matter. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, top three. I am open to ideas, though. So if you have a better idea about getting rid of the NBA draft, you go right on ahead. Because first and foremost, I do think that this is just sour grapes by maybe writers. I don't know what's going through Zion Williams' head. Probably wasn't overjoyed. But I think this might be sour grapes towards writers who just don't want to see Zion Williamson play for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Well, I think the first thing is, and I know fans around here don't want to hear about player empowerment because player empowerment leads to guys like LeBron James and Kyrie Irving doing whatever the hell they want and being able to get out of their contract. Kyrie obviously did it early, and you know Anthony Davis was able to do it 2 years early. Okay, I'm just gonna be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Fans seem to hate that thought because fans want loyalty and they want guys staying around for a long period of time, and so they don't want to hear any of that. But in the NBA, where it is such a different league because the stars run the league, the thought has been out there, wait a second, should the teams be dictating where players go, or should players be dictating where players go even out of college? Because it is such a different league. You pay the premium games on your season tickets, it's based on not the teams, but it's where the players are. Mm-hmm. The minute LeBron James leaves from Miami and goes to Cleveland, well,
changes.
Guess what? It's now the Cavs game is the one that costs more money rather than the Miami Heat game, depending on what city you're in. The reason that I've talked about abolishing the draft is because I love the strategy of it. I love talking about strategy. Like, why is it when we try to talk about equity and we have this, everybody said, hey, let's blow up the lottery. The lottery stinks now because of how they changed the odds, right? The Cavs had the best odds to get the number five pick, yet they had the second worst record in the NBA. Why did the Cavs end up with the number five pick? Well, how is that fair? So then after the day after that, we're talking about, do we want to abolish the lottery altogether? I love it because it forces teams to have good cultures, right? Players are not going to want to just go. See, people think they're just going to want to go to New York or L.A. Well, they wouldn't over the last how many years. The player free agents have not wanted to go to L.A. or New York or Chicago the last how many years. They haven't wanted to go to Miami. Those teams have all had cap space the last how many years. No players have wanted to go there. So it incentivizes having good culture, good coaching, good ownership, a strong franchise. And furthermore, it'd be treated like free agency. And I know everyone's like, well, Zion Williamson would just pick one of the big markets. Well, maybe he would, but what about Ja Morant? Maybe back when Milwaukee was able to get the Greek Freak, maybe if the Cavs had scouted him better than anybody else, maybe the Cavs end up with the Greek Freak. Right? This is part of the thought. And I know it's crazy. We have to get out of the thought to even have this discussion. You have to get out of the thought that the bad teams get the best players coming out of the draft. And instead, maybe the better organizations. And maybe you take a chance on a guy. And you're willing to take a chance on a guy that other teams are not willing to take a chance out of. Maybe the Steph Currys of the world. They don't go to Golden State. Maybe a team like the Cavs do all the advanced scouting on Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. And maybe they get him. That's what you have to open your mind to even have this discussion.
Well, I'm trying to be open-minded, okay? Because, again, I'm not just 100% drafting. That's all it has been and ever it's going to be. You got to be able to get owners to agree to it, and I think that's going to be very, very difficult. But let's have this conversation. I think you're right about the free agency thing, but, again, we're talking about grown-ups here, not 20 years old. I think a lot of guys will go, yeah, I know you keep telling me about James Dolan, and James Dolan is a bad owner and a goof, but they're still going to go, it's New York, I'm going to go to New York. So I think a lot of guys are going to want to go to New York and play for the Knicks or play for the Nets. Just like in L.A., they might go play with the Lakers and they'll go play with the Clippers. But there's still only 60 spots between those four teams. So now you have to find other guys. Plus, there's already vets who play for those teams. So then you have to find the other ones there. I still am going to have a problem believing that someone's going to go to the Sacramento Kings. Say the Sacramento Kings had an organization like Indiana, which is a good organization. Has been able to put together a long time. Or Toronto before this year. Toronto was a good, strong organization that put together a good effort for a number of years before they finally got over the hump. That's one of the things that people love about them now. They didn't blow it up. I have a problem believing that somebody is going to go to Sacramento even because they have that good organization. I'm afraid of that. That is a fear to it. But I think that we're getting back
What if Sacramento's offering more money for those players coming out of college?
Now, that's going to be a conversation that they have to have. But if there's – is there a max can offer?
So it has to be treated like NBA free agency, and I think you have to do something to restrict the contracts a little bit because you don't want rookies getting the same contracts that LeBron James is able to get.
So how many guys are going to be really offered the max out of a first round? I'm just asking questions. I'm not debating.
Yeah, I mean, it would depend, let's say, on your draft board. Let's say you, maybe not the max, but let's say a team that was situated right now, currently
max
in the draft.
Max is $12 million a year. I just want to set a number. $12 million.
Okay, $12 million. I think there might be some teams that are willing to say, hey, Bol Bol, we're willing, even with his injury history and 7'2" frame. I'm willing to go up and pay him right now, call today, put my team's hat on you right now. While the teams like the Lakers have no cap space, okay, like the teams, or like they won't have cap space, you know, you have to figure in free agencies right around the corner. They're teams that just are capped out, and they won't have money to go after Bol Bol. So maybe the Cavs get him, and maybe he ends up being the best player in the draft.
I don't think I want Bol Bol.
Well, no, just in case. I'm using it as an example because it's a risk-reward type thing.
Man. I'm trying to think of problems that could possibly come up. This is not terrible.
Well, there are some problems. The one main glaring problem is
cap space is going to be a problem.
If you're talking about, hey, we're going to go pay guys, and that's how we're going to get them to come to Cleveland or Sacramento or some of the markets that these guys aren't necessarily desiring to go to, it's that you overpay a guy and he busts, and then it hamstrings your organization.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
But you do that in free agency anyway.
I think then you just go to, but when you have young guys. Like, you do get guys like Giannis is used as the example here. That's the operative example. But a guy like C.J. McCollum, if we were redrafting the 2013 draft, C.J. McCollum might go third.
Sure.
Might even go second, depending on how much you think of Oladipo, but probably third. You would have, I'm just looking at it right here. Giannis would go first. Victor Oladipo would probably still, would he still go second to you? Probably?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure, because people here love C.J. McCollum. C.J. McCollum third. I think then you just start to go on a fishing expedition, and it's who can I get for the most amount of money. And if it comes down to a bidding war, I think I'm just always going to end up getting the max for some of these guys. So if it is scouted where in the 2019 draft, Williamson, then Morant, Barrett, then say DeAndre Hunter, and then Garland. All right, I think they all end up getting 12. And they all end up getting 12, and not all of those guys are going to be really good. I think the top three can end up being good. Garland and probably Hunter might have a little bit of up and down, whatever. One of those guys are going to end up being slop. So then it just turns into a fishing problem where I think a team like Memphis, I don't know if Memphis is ever going to be able to find one of those guys. So automatically becomes Williamson for $12 million, Barrett for 12, Morant for 12, but I don't know if they're going to Memphis and Memphis is getting the help or Phoenix. For the love of God, if Phoenix is ever getting the help, even though it just seems like they're wasting anyway. So you understand what I'm pointing out? That I don't know if a team like Phoenix gets the chance. They'll just have to overpay, and then they still might not get the best player. Because if I'm getting offered, say I'm RJ Barrett, and I'm getting $12 million offered by four other teams, including the Suns. I'm not going to the Suns. I'm not going to the Suns. It's a bad organization.
Well, again, it's
the ownership's awful.
The question
is, the fan base is not great. I'm not going there. It's a great city.
Do you want to incentivize losing, which this would end tanking, by the way. Tanking would be done. You'd never have tanking again. Regular seasons, teams would play it out, develop their players, but they'd also try to win games because there's literally no incentive
to
be bad and sit out guys.
That's why I thought the midseason tournament, I don't have enough time to explain it, I thought the midseason tournament might be a good idea, and then Keith Britton, without even thinking about it, just ripped it up and down in a meeting before. So
there's flaws in anything.
Even though I did it on the Saturday show and technically on here, and there were a lot of people who thought it was a good idea, but I guess Keith knows what he's talking about when it comes to basketball. Anyway, 216-578-0092. That's not a bad option. What you're giving me, I'll listen to. Okay? I don't like the whole, well, it's a free market because that's how we live. I don't know if that's necessarily the truth in a lot of cases. You say get rid of the NBA draft, get rid of all drafts. Do you want to get rid of all drafts?
No.
Is there a way to get rid of drafts?
I don't know in the NFL that you need to get rid of drafts because there's so many players that can be, you can draft great players everywhere. In the NBA, I know people are like, well, you know, look at where the Greek Freak went. Look at where Steph Curry went. The odds are still predominantly that top three players are the best players in the NBA over time.
I hear your premise. See, this is why I wanted to hear you out. Because immediately, I think a lot of people, they're either pro or anti-draft. I just don't buy the reasons that a lot of people give anti-draft. Well, you get out of college, you get to pick where you work. No, you don't. No, you don't. Did you get to pick where you worked?
No.
Because you would not have picked Parkersburg, West Virginia. You could not pick where you work. Now, there are Ivy Leaguers.
Yeah, that's the devil's advocate.
Yes. Yeah, and so there are guys like Zion Williamson.
They get to go to the top firms. They get to kind of pick where they go, and those firms actually bid for them.
Yep, there are guys like Zion Williamson. What about everybody else? Because John Morant's a great player. He does not have the hullabaloo that goes on with Zion Williamson. There's guys like LeBron. There's certain guys like we've seen in the past, but there's very few of those players. I think that's the equivalent to it. Most people, they work at a branch, and they work their way up, like Giannis Antetokounmpo. He goes to Milwaukee. Now, for the health of the NBA, and I think it's a good story, yes, I do wish he signs long-term with Milwaukee, but he has every opportunity now since he's proven. And this is the thing about sports that people don't understand. There's very little nepotism. There is with coaching, but there's with players, there's very little nepotism. There's very little Peter principle. There are very little of the office-style politics that we see in our day-to-day lives. It is very much merit-based. So Giannis grinds it out in Milwaukee for what'll probably be, 7 years? Yes, 7 years. And he has the opportunity, if he wants to, and the other team has cap space, he can go to the L.A. office if he wants to. Because I don't think people understand this. You play for the NBA, you play for the NFL, you play for Major League Baseball. These are franchises, but they're under that roof. That's why you can be suspended by the NBA. And you can be suspended by the branch you work for. And so I have no problem with the draft. However, I'm open-minded to these ideas, and the idea you're giving me is, okay, if you're really that good at scouting, go out and get your guy, and if there's a $12 million maximum or whatever it might be, just throwing out a number here, then go out and find your guy and let him work and do it that way.
It's just, but part of this is based
on...
I'm
okay with what you're bringing up.
Part of it is based, and by the way, we know it's not going to happen. This is a fun discussion to have. About, you know, we like to question everything. And, you know, just because we've done it all the same way all these years, the question is, do you continue to do it that way? It's a philosophical question. Do you want the bad teams to just automatically get the best players? And how, if you like that idea, how do you determine that? Well, you know, the NBA goes with a lottery because they don't want every team just losing on purpose. Well, has that worked? No. Teams are losing on purpose. They flatten the odds this year. Guess what? The Lakers, who had LeBron James last year, they sat him the last however many games of the year, and they got rewarded for it. They got the fourth pick in the draft. The Cavs tanked parts of the year. Then they got Kevin Love back, and actually, you know, you could have made the argument.
Tried a little bit.
Stop playing Kevin Love. Why are you playing Kevin Love? We want to lose games. Yeah. They started winning games. And then what happened? They got the second worst record of the year in the league, and they end up with the fifth overall pick. But those were the best odds because the NBA wanted to de-incentivize tanking. It didn't work. Teams still lost on purpose. So the only real way to completely de-incentivize tanking is get rid of the draft. But that creates other problems.
Mm-hmm. 216-578-0092. Let me get to Scotty on a cell. Scotty, you're next up on the Fan. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey.
Good. Two things. Number one, you can't compare real life like what we do to the NBA because they only got 30 teams. And, you know, you and I and Anthony were out here chasing a nickel compared to what these guys are going after. So it's kind of like an old man's, you know, old boys group where you don't really have choice. It's 30 teams. That's it. Number one. Number two, I hate the idea because of the culture that we already, as a fan base, despise with the free agency and going where they want and manipulating the system like Kyrie and LeBron and what they did even in Miami. Now we're going to add 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to that mix where they get to do whatever they want. Are they going to be conspiring as high schoolers as to where they're going to go together? Right. I think it's a bad idea, man. It just opens Pandora's box.
All right, Lima, you've thought about this. Go ahead and answer it.
I think all those are legitimate point of views. There's no perfect system. My hope was that, let's say, a team like the Cavs. Let's say, for instance, that the Cavs were perceived around the NBA as having a top-flight organization and a top-flight ownership. And all these things happen, but the Cavs were in purgatory.
Trying to tell me they don't? I'm kidding.
It's in the eye of the beholder.
Go ahead.
So let's just say, for instance, let's say the Cavs every year are in purgatory, and they're getting the 8 seed and the 7 seed, but they can't get free agents because, let's say, players don't want to play here, and they can't get to the top of the draft because they're too good. Well, what system would help the Cavs? This, theoretically, could help the Cavs. That instead of going after free agents, they go after, because they've scouted the draft picks and the guys coming out of high school, because remember, in 2022, it's going to be about high school scouting too, most likely.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then also college scouting. Maybe you've got a top-flight scouting personnel organization. Then you might have a chance to go steal those guys, the Greek freaks of the world. The other thing I would say is everybody has put, I've heard this the last 2 weeks, God, the NBA is terrible. These players all dictate what they want to do. That caller just said manipulate, and they're not wrong. But did you see what happened with Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., and Le'Veon Bell over the last year? This is happening in the NFL more and more. This is starting to happen in the NFL, and I know people don't like it, but don't crush the NBA when you're starting to see more signs of this in other sports like the NFL.
Sam in Akron, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. So, Anthony, I think you might be on to something. And the reason why I say that, and I got a couple questions for you. So if these players are entering so much not the draft, do they have an option to go back to college? You know, like, hey, I'm not being scouted, or these teams aren't recruiting me. So instead of entering the draft and not being able to re-enter college because you've done less, do these student athletes have the opportunity to go back to school? And then,
Once you come out, you can't go back to school.
But
I mean, you can always go back to school, but you can't play in college basketball.
Well, they're trying to change the rules on some of that, where you can you may be able to talk to an agent, and you may get an honest evaluation of where you could go, and then you decide to go back.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I think that's fair. But as far as like actually camping and things like that, once you're in, you're in. That's it.
I think with Anthony's system, though, it's once if someone wants to draft me, then great, I'll go. If not, I'm going to stay in school. Versus now, it's like you enter the draft and you don't get drafted by a U.S. team. You're kind of bound or kind of sent over to the EuroLeague to try to see if the team will take you over there.
Well,
and get better.
Because I think they might want to send him down and do things like that. Sam, thank you very much for the call. I think, first, you can't go back. Second of all, I don't know. The G League thing and the farm system thing, I don't know if that really works out the very best way, especially with the top-end guys. Now, there are guys who obviously have been G League players who have gone on to have very nice careers. I don't know if you really want to do it that way. I think that there's an argument to have a better investment with playing college basketball than there is to go play in Australia or Europe or any of the other thing. We did this with Zion himself last year, where people were making the argument about him being paid, where Zion Williamson went to Duke because he knew what the hell he was doing. He knew that there was an inroad there with Nike, and now Nike has to pay him because the shoe was broken. You cannot allow him to be with a different shoe company after that shoe breaks.
That was a very profitable year by Zion Williamson, even though technically he did not earn a dollar from Duke.
Let me get to TJ and Lorraine. TJ, you're next up on the Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
what's
TJ
going on?
Hey, I got a theory on getting rid of tanking and purgatory.
Okay.
The worst record gets the number one pick. Now the first team that misses the playoffs gets the number two pick. So on and so forth, you know, back and forth.
That's not bad. I'm just pointing out that's not bad.
So because the seedings are going to be so tight, the incentive is not necessarily there because you have no idea where you're going to fall in the draft.
Possibly. Yeah. But I still think that that goes back to the midseason tournament where I said the winner of that, it's not going to be a tanking team. So the winner of that, I think you should let them be seated where they want to be seated, 4 through 8, and then go ahead and give them the number one pick. I'd be rewarding a team like Indiana, a good organization that's tried to do it the right way, instead of rewarding a team like the Phoenix Suns, or hopefully not very long, God forbid, the Cleveland Cavaliers. 216-578-0092. Up next, Andy Benoit going to join us from Sports Illustrated, and we might be living in a world in 2019 where 13.5 sacks might not be good enough for Myles Garrett. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.